From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Tuesday, September 12th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how the farm-to-school movement is out to revolutionize school lunch. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois State Representative Mara Hershauer is enlisting gun control advocates to help revive a bill targeting domestic violence. The legislation would allow judges to order the removal of firearms from someone who has had an emergency restraining order filed against them. Hershauer says she plans to push for the bill during the legislative veto session next month.
We've already lost loved ones, you know, because a domestic abuser has been allowed to keep their guns. And we can't lose any more people, and we know what the solution is.
During the spring legislative session, Hershauer's bill stalled out in the Senate. She says this time around, she plans to emphasize the connection between gun violence and domestic violence cases. A bell from the unfinished World War II battleship USS Illinois was used in Champaign to remember those lost in September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. IPM reporter Jim Meadows has more.
The bell rang nine times at Westside Park to honor the 9/11 victims and first responders. It was also heard at the annual stair climb at the University of Illinois' Memorial Stadium earlier in the day. Lieutenant Hadi Asawi is with the college's Navy ROTC battalion.
All these people that responded, they were climbing these stairs, countless numbers of stairs, and all of it was happening in 30, 45 minutes. So it's very sobering to hear that while you're doing the stair climb and remember the events that transpired on 9/11.
The USS Illinois bell is also associated with happier occasions, ringing after Illini touchdowns at U of I home football games. I'm Jim Meadows, IPM News.
Five workers are still hospitalized after an explosion at an Archer Daniels Midland plant in Decatur on Sunday night. Eight total were injured. No deaths have been reported as of last night. ADM says the explosion occurred shortly after 7 p.m. at its East plant, which produces soybean oil and other soy products. The Chicago-based company says the fire is now out and that it did not know the cause of the explosion. The explosion is the third incident at ADM's Decatur facilities this year. 2 weeks ago, two Decatur firefighters were hospitalized after they battled a fire in a feed house at the plant. And in April, an explosion at the West plant injured three workers. Still to come, we'll learn more about how the farm-to-school movement is out to revolutionize school lunch. That story is next on 217 Today.
Masterpiece original series Vandervolk, based on Nicholas Freeling's legendary crime thrillers, returns to WILL-TV this month. In season 3, Piet Vandervolk, played by Mark Warren, welcomes two new sergeants to the team, including a technical whiz and an impulsive hotshot. Friends of WILL can stream all six episodes of season 3, plus the show's first two seasons, with WILL Passport. Visit will.illinois.edu/passport to learn more about this exclusive member benefit.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. More and more schools are offering students fresh, locally grown food in their cafeterias. It's the big idea behind the farm-to-school movement, and there's a lot of federal investment behind it. As Harvest Public Media contributor Ray Solomon reports, those dollars aim to reshape school lunch menus and strengthen local farm economies.
Derek Hoffman is poking around a dense row of bushy tomato plants on his 100-acre farm on the outskirts of Greeley in northern Colorado. He's filling a white plastic bucket with ripe cherry tomatoes that he's already sold to the local school district.
These will go to Greeley Evans School District here just down the road. about five miles from their warehouse.
In about a week, kids will be snacking on them in nearby school cafeterias. Hoffman's tomatoes are part of a growing farm-to-school movement revolutionizing the humble school lunch. When farm-to-school programming works as designed, kids fill their plates with fresh, nutritious food, and local farm economies get a major boost. Hoffman's farm-to-school contracts brought enough financial stability that he was able to quit his off-the-farm job.
It's allowed us to grow. It's allowed us to do what we're doing.
It seems like such a simple idea that benefits everyone involved. But while Hoffman and the schools he works with represent the best outcome of farm-to-school programs, they are hardly the norm. Getting local food into schools has proven frustratingly complicated.
We often hear that schools and producers initially don't talk the same language.
Cindy Long administers the farm-to-school program at the United States Department of Agriculture.
Schools think about, oh, I need, you know, 7,500 servings of this, and farmers think in terms of, you know, bushels or crates.
Long's agency has been funding farm-to-school efforts at the federal level for more than a decade. She says the challenges have included the cost of local food, training cafeteria staff, and an admittedly bureaucratic purchasing system. To get past those challenges, it takes solutions that are flexible, specific, and above all, local.
Schools and producers really just needed an ongoing source of support to help take folks from interest to actually being able to execute.
Recent policy changes at the federal level make providing that support a new priority. Last year, the USDA started funneling unprecedented amounts of money to states specifically to get more local food into schools. At least $260 million directly fund local food purchases and related farm-to-school infrastructure.
We have been describing it as trying to drink out of a fire hose because there's just so much money coming down from the USDA.
Sunny Baker with the National Farm to School Network says all the money coming from the USDA is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to give school lunch a head-to-toe makeover and integrate it into local food systems.
One of the best things that can come out of this like massive influx of money is going to be that we're developing really incredible examples of how this can work and like learning what's possible.
In northern Iowa, for instance, those investments trickled down to the Clear Lake School District in the form of $8,000 grants to buy farm fresh food through a new network of regional food hubs that made local purchasing a breeze for food services director Julie Udelhofen.
As I saw that product come in, the freshness, the color, the flavor, it just made it all worth it.
Udelhofen was always interested in farm-to-school programs, but without support, the process was just too burdensome. Now that she's got a taste of it, she does not want to go back to business as usual.
As long as my budget looks good and I can support it, I'm going to get that food in front of the kids.
There's just one catch. That fire hose of extra funding is not permanent. It runs out at the end of this school year. Udelhofen is hoping her local food service can outlive the money. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Ray Solomon.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a high of 73 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Jim Meadows, and Ray Solomon. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.